Here we go. That's okay. Well, good afternoon, everybody. You're listening to Waste Matters on the Air on KMUZ 88.5 FM on your radio dial. So glad to have you here today with us. This is the show that delves into the issues around waste and how to prevent it. I'm your host, Alan Pennington, a waste reduction coordinator for Marion County Public Works Environmental Services. And I'm here in the studio today live with my guest, Don Alexander, who's an engineer with Marion County Public Works Environmental Services. You getting that name down? So we're going to get back with Don in just a second, but I've got a couple of wonderful announcements that I want to share with you before we start our show today. And the first one is that today's the 18th, but tomorrow is the 19th, which is the deadline to sign up for the Marion County Master Recycler class. Now, if you know anything about recycling, but you haven't been in the class, you might be surprised how much more you would learn. You would go beyond just the 3 R's. You learn about household hazardous waste, composting, vermiculture, which has to do with worms of some sort. We'd go on field trips, and you'd get to see pair presentations by local experts in the field. But the coolest thing about this is that you would get a chance to network with all the local leaders that have to do with anything to do with waste, and you would suddenly become the go-to person for your organization, your neighborhood, your church, your synagogue, wherever you are. But anyway, just if you want to find out more about that class or sign up, just go to mcrecycles.net today and find more information. Well, speaking of deadlines, January 20th seems like a long ways away, but it's about 3 weeks, is the deadline to nominate folks for the upcoming Green Awards. The categories this year include Recycler of the Year, Sustainable Business of the Year, and many other categories. If you know of someone or some organization that really deserves kudos for all the cool green things that they've been doing, then you need to hightail it right over to www.midvalleygreenawards.org, and it's time to make your Green Award nominations. Okay, I'll say it one more time, www.midvalleygreenawards.org. And I've got one last announcement. It's a happy one. Garten Services has announced that they are celebrating the opening of their brand new materials recovery facility here in Salem. That's a place where when somebody puts their recyclables into a container, whether it's from their home or their apartment or work, it's got to get sorted out somehow so they can be turned into new products. Well, Garten Services is going to start doing that right here in Salem. And it'll be an opportunity for them to put a lot of folks that have various disabilities to work right here. So that open house is going to be on Friday, January 9th from 10:30 to noon. For more details, go to www.garten.org. So, time to get on with today's show. I want to get back and set the stage for our listeners here. So, again, let's think about you. You've got your garbage, you've got your little trash bag, whatever, and you're going to put it into a garbage bin somewhere. Again, your home, your work, your apartment. And when you put it in that garbage, when the truck comes along, invariably, and the odds are great, that it's going to go to Marion Covanta Energy from Waste Facility up in Brooks. Now, if you're wondering where Brooks is, it's that first exit as you're heading north out of Salem. And you turn to your right as you come out of I-5, and you'll see that big candy cane smokestack coming out of someplace. Well, that's the Brooks Energy Facility there. So they'll burn it there, and they use the energy from that heat to create steam out of water, which turns a turbine, which makes electricity. How much electricity? Oh, about 13.5 megawatts, which is enough for, if you wanted to put it into homes, it would be about 10,000 houses that could run off that. So think like Woodburn or something. So is that the end of the story? Well, no, because if that was the end of the story, we wouldn't have one today. So there is much more, because not all of that garbage burns. Which brings us to our guest today, Don Alexander, an environmental engineer for Marion County Public Works Environmental Services. He's going to enlighten us today about what happens with the stuff that doesn't go. So, Don, thanks for coming in today. So fill us in on why we should assume you know of which you speak. In other words, tell us a little bit about yourself, Don.
Thanks, Alan, for having me over. This is kind of a new experience for me, so bear with me. But, I've been working for Marion County for just about 18 and a half years now, and my background is in geology and environmental engineering. I did work at one of the Department of Energy nuclear sites for about 12 years out of college, and cut my teeth on nuclear waste, and got tired of that. So I moved up to Alaska and worked in the at Kodiak Island Borough as their environmental engineer, and also managed a bale fill operation, which is another method of disposal for garbage. You make a big, like a hay bale, and stack them up and bury them. And also did a variety of environmental cleanups and things up in Alaska until I've got tired of the dark winters, and so I decided to move back down here to the lower 48, as they call it, and landed here in Marion County. So that's how I ended up here.
Well, that's a good recap, Don, and I'm glad we've got you here. It's good that you have some experience, and a lot of experience, and we don't have a rookie up there handling all our stuff for us here. So, Don, let's imagine this. Let's imagine I go camping and I build a fire. Of course, it's going to be an approved fire pit by the U.S. Forest Service, of course. But after I am done with it, I can't help but leave a residue of ash behind. So tell us, does the waste energy facility that Covanta owns and operates up in Brooks also leave a residue too after they burn all of our garbage?
Yeah, in fact, municipal solid waste combustor ash is basically the byproduct that's produced when you combust municipal solid waste at a waste energy or energy to waste, energy from waste facility. And in most modern facilities these days, there's basically two types of ash that are produced. You've got your bottom ash and your fly ash. And from those streams, in the United States, most all of the combustor facilities, waste energy facilities, combine those two types of ash into what they call combined ash. And that combined ash then is what we handle at North Marion. So it's about roughly 85 to 90% is the bottom ash, and 10 to 15% is the fly ash. The bottom ash is basically looks a lot similar to a porous, gray, silty, sandy, gravelish type looking material. If you drive by, you'll see these gray mounds that are there off I-5 at Woodburn, and that's the ash that we take at Woodburn. And most of it consists of primarily glass, ceramics, ferrous and non-ferrous metals, various minerals, fused plastic, and that's the general composition of it. And that's the combined ash, the bottom ash. The boiler ash, then, is the ash that is collected as part of the air emission control systems at Covanta. When they collect the flue gases off of the combustion processes, those go through a baghouse filtration system, and various things are injected in to neutralize the a lot of lime is injected in to neutralize the acid gases, and that ash then is combined with the bottom ash that's brought to Woodburn.
Okay. So basically you're saying then, I'm just trying to visualize this, so that would be the ash then, like again, if I was at my fire ring, kind of the stuff that's going up in the air and with all the gases, correct? So you've got gases, you've got little particulates, and they're all being captured.
Correct. Okay. Yes.
Excellent. So I just for our listeners here, just to make sure you understand, so when he's talking about the place in Woodburn, if you think of the Woodburn, Woodburn?
Outlet Mall.
Mall there on the west side of I-5, just a little bit north on the Portland side of that, you'll see what some refer to as the pyramids of ash, and that's where it's been stored. So Don, so basically a lot of the stuff that's going to be in that ash then is just stuff that wouldn't burn, right?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, mainly, the things that are left behind are basically things that are the inorganics, your metals, again, ceramics, glass, that type of thing, mineral fractions that would be left behind. And basically, you have about a 90% reduction in volume by weight. So the combustion process reduces the volume by weight about 90%.
Okay, so one of the benefits then, okay, so we've got this incinerator, we'll also call it a burner, we'll also call it waste energy or energy from waste, but whatever it is, it's a place where we're burning trash, we're turning it into energy, and we're also reducing the volume of waste.
Correct.
That all sounds like a winner. It sounds like everybody in Oregon must be doing this, correct?
Nope. There's only one waste energy facility in the state of Oregon,
and
ours.
And good old Marion County.
Yeah.
So we've got all this stuff that we can't burn. How do we – I mean, it sounds like to me like we'd want to keep that stuff out of the burner in the first place. Do we try that?
Yeah, we do. We try and definitely we don't want to burn certain things, and we don't allow certain things to come to the waste energy, such as inorganic materials that, of course, don't burn, like concrete, brick, rubble, those types of items that there's no BTU value in those, so there's no reason to process them through the waste energy. The other things that we don't like to accept out there are tires, asphalt roofing, gypsum board, asbestos, any kind of metal or any recyclables that clearly have a recyclable value are best suited to try and remove those before they go to the waste energy, which is why we have such a good recycling program here in Marion County.
Yeah. And in fact, I saw a study looking at what's in our garbage, and basically, you know, about 60% of the stuff that we're still throwing away could either be recycled or composted. So there's still a lot of, we do pretty well in Marion County, but it goes to show you we still got a lot of room for improvement. So thinking about that, there's also PVC pipe we don't typically want on that, correct?
Correct,
so
yes.
So how can we, if, for example, a landscaper or somebody's got a bunch of PVC, what could they do to not put it in the burner?
Well, again, there's other options for disposal of inert, inorganic construction and demolition debris in Marion County. We've got the Browns Island landfill, which is a demolition landfill, which takes, again, inert construction materials such as PVC, rock, brick, roofing, gypsum board. Those are the types of things we would accept out at Browns Island. The other option is also the MRF there that's off just down the road from Covanta, which is the Marion Resource Recovery Facility, and they provide a service where they take construction and demolition debris and actually will sort out the recyclable materials from that. They'll take out the cardboard, anything that can be recycled, they'll recover there. They will haul the demolition debris either to Browns Island or to the Coffin Butte landfill.
Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty good system. That's kind of good to actively trying to keep that stuff out of there. So, Don, I hope I got this right, but it used to be for many, many years since the place opened up when, what was that, 86, 88? Was that when Covanta started up?
1986 when the waste energy was constructed.
So at that point, all the ash that came out of there that was left over would come to North Marion, correct?
Correct.
But that's not the case anymore.
Well, a little bit of history about North Marion. North Marion Disposal Facility began operation in 1974 as a general municipal solid waste landfill. And so there is actually an old landfill out there at North Marion that where county residents, businesses would take their garbage and it would be buried just like a regular landfill. Up until about 1986, when the waste energy facility was constructed, is when we constructed the first ash monofill cell. And I say monofill because mono meaning singular or one, meaning that it only takes a single waste stream, which is the combustor ash that was generated at Covanta. So we constructed, and this was before I was here, but the first cell was constructed in 86, or 87 actually. Shortly after that, they realized they were going to need more room for the ash, so they constructed a second cell, or cell two as we call it. And those two cells were in operation up until 1998, at which time there, what we call a final closure cover or cap was placed over those to prevent precipitation and exposure to, and just general exposure to the environment, and kind of seal those off from the environment. In 1996, then, we constructed Cell 3, which continued to take the ash from Covanta, and later was expanded to Cell 4 in 2002, which we are currently using right now.
Okay, but are the garbage trucks then still bringing that ash directly to North Marion?
Well, in 2010, we started a pilot program where we were looking. For years and years, I saw lots of metal coming in the ash. I'm like, well, why isn't this metal being recovered at Covanta? Even though they had some metal recovery at Covanta, there was still a lot of metal in the ash. And so we did a pilot study, and we determined that it was economically feasible to recover the metal from the ash. And so we initiated a metal recovery operation at Woodburn, which basically is like a large sieve or a screening operation where we screen the ash and then remove the ferrous and the non-ferrous metal from the ash. With the screened ash then, what was coming out of the bottom of the screen plant, basically, that we use was a nice, well-graded, nice, fine material. And we said, well, maybe there's some other alternatives that we could use this ash for, which we basically looked into using it as what we call alternative daily cover at one of the other local landfills. In this case, it was Coffin Butte Landfill down by Corvallis, where they are required to place a daily cover over garbage that's been placed, and that controls vectors, disease vectors, wind-blown litter, things like that. There's a requirement that they cover that garbage on a daily basis called daily cover.
So I'd just put that in their vectors, speaking in this case, like rats, rodents, birds,
correct,
anything yep, that can make it carry it somewhere,
right,
else.
Exactly. And wind mm-hmm, wind, and just exposure to the general
wind
environment.
Vector.
Yeah, wind vector. So we did a program where we were hauling that screen material down to Coffin Butte. It was being used for daily cover. It got approved for daily cover. And so basically we were screening the ash, and then hauling the ash back out of Woodburn down to Coffin Butte Landfill. So at that point, some things occurred along the way. They decided that they could recover more metal at Covanta, so they put in some additional metal recovery at the waste energy facility, which then decreased the amount of metal that was coming into Woodburn. So at that point, it became...
Oh, so you're saying that there's actually a giant magnet or something pulling the metal out at Covanta?
Yeah. Covanta has a large couple different magnets. They use a drum magnet to pull the large pieces of metal out. And then they also put in – so what they used to run is just a drum magnet. And mm-hmm, then they put in a crossbelt magnet, and they also put in an eddy current system, which is a piece of equipment that can – remove the non-ferrous metals like brass, copper, aluminum.
Mm-hmm. So, and those are pretty valuable, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Price-wise.
The other thing that went on is that in 2010 time frame, the metals markets really started going up. The cost per ton for recycled metals went up. A lot of that was due to the big boom in China, and China was using a lot of these recovered metals and taking them and reprocessing those metals back into a usable product.
Mm-hmm. So the Covanta started, they were started taking a lot of those metals too. So now the ash didn't have as many metals, or still had some?
Yeah, the ash still had a small percentage of metal, but it wasn't really feasible to continue to bring that material to Woodburn and screen out and take any remaining metal. So in essence, what we did was start hauling directly from Covanta to Coffin Butte. Here this last year, beginning of 2014, we began hauling the ash directly from Covanta down to Coffin Butte, which they are now using that ash for daily cover and no longer bringing any ash to Woodburn. The ash that has been brought to Woodburn for, you know, the last 23 years, we are still actively going after the metals and recovering the metals in that ash, because that's where the higher concentration and higher recovery rates of metal is still in that ash. So we're still recovering metals out of the old ash. So we're going back in and recovering these metals that were actually thrown away, you know, years ago.
So what kind of metals would you find in there, for example? If you're digging through an old pile, what might you find?
Well, you find a lot of ferrous metal, which is your iron-based metal, car parts, surprisingly, motor windings, tin cans, lids. It's very interesting because in garbage, because it does go to a waste energy facility, and you throw something away in your garbage and you don't realize that there's potentially all these little pieces of metal that are in that. For instance, take a mattress. People throw a mattress away. Well, they don't realize that in that mattress you've got springs and wire and metal that is recoverable. And by the waste, by combusting that material, you get rid of all the organics and you're left with just the metal or the inorganic metals that don't burn. And so we're able to easily recover that metal then at that point.
Cool. Do you ever find any money in there?
There is a lot of money, a lot of coins. However, the problem with coins and money is we do find coins, but a lot of times the face value is no longer recognizable. So you can't get the actual value of the coin. You can't trade it in. Say it's a 50-cent piece. If it's defaced or beyond recognition, you can't recover 50 cents for it. You only get the actual non-ferrous value metal for it, for brass, copper, aluminum, whatever the price might be.
So what are the prices for metals like these days?
Right now, ferrous metal is just right around $230 a ton, I believe.
$230.
$230 a ton for ferrous metal. And brass and copper, I mean, what we're getting is about $1.35, $1.45 for brass and copper, because you have to remember this has been through the waste energy facility. It's been impacted with ash. So there is some
there's some goo on it.
There's some goo. There's some contaminants on it that degrade the value of it. It's not like your nice, bright, shiny
sure.
copper that you pull out of, electrical
wiring.
So
it needs more processing.
Yeah, so it needs some more processing so we don't get as good a price for
it. But when you say $1.30, you're talking about $1.30 a pound.
$1.30 a pound.
So a ton then would be worth a lot.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Reasonably.
Yeah, exactly. And then we get a lot of aluminum, surprisingly, a lot of bits of aluminum that, again, people don't realize they're maybe throwing away, or they're throwing something away that has a little piece of aluminum in it. Well, again, when we're able to recover that material and pull it out. And aluminum's right now we're about 52 cents a pound for aluminum.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So you guys have been doing this metal recovery for how long?
We started in 2011, and we're still plugging away at it. Like I said, we're getting down into the older ash material prior to 2011 when, or prior to 2010 when Covanta put in the additional metal recovery at the plant. So the older we get into the older ash, theoretically the concentration of metals should go up. And so we're just getting down into some older ash now and starting to see higher recovery rates.
So would you consider yourself a recovering metalaholic?
Yeah, that's it.
I like that, Don. Well, Don, you know what? It's so encouraging to hear that Marin County is taking the lead on recovering these metals that normally would just be reburied. I mean, you think about all the work, the energy, the environmental disruption to go out and dig this stuff. You know, the copper can come from all over the planet, as everything else that's in there, all those different metals. and getting those things and then being able to give them another life, because basically, you know, metals can be reused forever.
Yeah.
But if we bury them in the ground, then we can't get to them. So that's my hat's off to you for leading this project and seeing that it works and keeping at it. And my hat's off to you, Don Alexander.
Well, thank you. We're giving it a go. We're trying to.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much for coming and being our guest today, because that's all the time we have for Waste Matters on the Air. We hope that you'll join us for our next show in 2 weeks, which is going to be on January 1st, also known as New Year's Day amongst some of us. As Waste Reduction Coordinator extraordinaire, Jessica Ramey hosts a very special New Year's Day edition of Waste Matters on the Air. And, of course, if you want to go back and hear this broadcast or any others that have been done historically, KMUZ.org on the website has podcasts archives for all their shows, including ours. And, as always, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at environmentalservices@co.marion.or.us, which has been voted the sexiest government email address in America. And you can also find us on Facebook or YouTube. Well, until then, stay well, and we'll see you next year.
Find the perfect holiday gift and support two great nonprofits. Here's how it works.
Pinnacle Theater is doing a benefit performance for KMUZ on Wednesday, January 28th, 2015. Buy tickets for that performance, and all proceeds will go to your community radio station.
The play is Lend Me a Tenor,
an award-winning comedy.
A famous tenor arrives to appear in a one-night performance,
only to show up late and pass out.
Watch the hilarious attempts to salvage the evening.
So, find the perfect gift, help KMUZ, and support live theater, all for $20 a ticket. And while you're at it, give yourself a gift, too, because after the holidays, you'll deserve a night of laughter.
The KMUZ benefit is Wednesday, January 28th. The show starts at 7:30. Buy those tickets by calling KMUZ at 503-990-6091 or buy them directly from the Pinnacle Theater box office at 145 Liberty Street Northeast in downtown Salem. See KMUZ.org or PentacleTheater.org for more information.